Call to order the budget committee meeting of the town of Mount Pleasant. We were waiting on one council member who will be here, but we're already 12 minutes late. Item number two is approval of the minutes from the March 29th meeting. Do you have a motion?
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion to approve in a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the minutes are approved. Item three is public comments. If you're here to make a public comment, please come forward, name and address, 2.5 minutes by ordinance. Anyone? Any public comments? All right, thank you very much. Item four is presentation by the Mother Emanuel Memorial Foundation for the Emanuel 9 Memorial.
That's the, Mr. Mayor, if it's okay, I'll review some of the adjustments and recommendations that came from a committee, which this was one.
Yes.
And at that point, if it's okay, if there are any questions, the gentleman is here to answer any questions about that project.
Okay.
Okay. All right, thank you, sir. And good morning, everyone. Good to be with you. Quick refresher, the budget that was proposed to you focuses on preservation of quality of life, protecting our neighborhoods, preserving services. It is balanced, and there's our largest amount ever going towards facility repair and the repair of our assets, totaling about $14 million. This budget that was proposed went to committee, and these were the recommendations that came out of committee. Finance Committee, $250,000 from Community Investment to Mother Emanuel Memorial Foundation for the Emanuel 9 Memorial. And as I mentioned, sir, the gentleman is here, Corey Smith, representing that project. If you or members of council would like to hear more details. Okay, Mr. Smith, can you come forward?
Thank you all for having us here. My name is Corey Smith here, representing the Mother Emanuel Foundation for the Emanuel 9 Memorial. We'd just like to talk to you a little bit about the foundation, the memorial itself, some of the outreach programs that we'll be focusing on, and as well as where we stand today in our progress. Foundation was founded just after the tragedy. John Darby with the Beach Company reached out to the church and asked how he may be able to help. A couple years had passed, but they came up with the idea of creating a memorial on the grounds of the church. The foundation board directs all activities for the foundation. It's made up of business, civic, and church leaders from around the Charleston area. The memorial itself this is the project team, highlighted by some of the top professionals in all of their industries. Including Handel Architects, run by Michael Arad, who was the designer of the 9/11 Memorial in New York City, came up with a really beautiful design for the Emanuel 9 Memorial. So there's a plethora of consultants from both representing national firms as well as local representation as well. So the memorial itself is housed on the church grounds just off Calvin Street. And there are two distinct sections of the memorial. To the west is the memorial courtyard, which we'll go into further detail on that. And then to the east is the survivor's garden. They're, again, two distinct portions of the memorial, but they both house the church at the center. This is the memorial courtyard, looking from Calhoun Street to the north. And as you can see, there are two large benches, 60 and 80 feet long, that serve as framing the names fountain, which sits in the middle. This is a place for congregation and shelter and for people to come together to talk about what happened. The names fountain sits directly in the center of those benches. These are the names of the 9 who perished during the event that happened. The fountain is cut from stone. There is a cross that sits in the middle of it. is an illuminated cross, and there's water that emanates from that and pours over the names of the 9 victims. Here is a sample of a stone cutting on what that would look like with the inlaid black letters and the particular font that the names will be in. The fellowship benches sit on either side of the names fountain, again 60 feet and 80 feet long. Here's a representation of them. They are made up of individually cut stone pieces about 9 feet tall, and there's a pretty intricate structural design to the benches in which each individual stone piece supports the stone piece to either side of it. So it's a way for kind of representing the stones to be leaning on one another and supporting one another just around the names of the 9. In the back corner, there's a quiet place of contemplation called the Contemplation Basin. Again, it has some stone features and a water feature as well. And this is more of a place for quiet reflection for different people to come visit, have their moment, and reflect on what happened. Here's an axonometric view of the Contemplation Basin. You can see the outline of the fellowship benches there. So this sits kind of just in the back corner of the memorial courtyard. Onto the eastern side of the church is the Survivor's Garden. Survivor's Garden is it's made up of a lawn, some benches, and some chairs. This is seen as more of a happy place, I would like to say, a place that should serve more in the day-to-day operations of the church itself. And again, this is to the east of the church. And really, we even see this being a place, a celebratory place, where you can even host a small wedding on the lawn. And again, this is, can serve as operations for the church and other different types of community and celebratory events. There are 6 benches that surround the lawn of the Survivor's Garden. 5 of the benches are engraved with names of the survivors, and the 6th bench is representative of the Mother Emmanuel Church itself as a survivor of this tragedy, as it has survived so many other events throughout its life. Our primary focus recently has been on the design and fundraising and construction of the memorial that we've previously discussed, but as we start construction there, we'll start to turn our focus towards an outreach program. Once it's built and we've developed a community that's interested in coming to visit our project, we find it very important to also facilitate discussion amongst those who come and join us. So we see this as an educational opportunity for children from around the country, and also for corporations to be able to bring different people to the project, learn about the project, the church, what happened, but also facilitate discussion on how we can come together and help love conquer hate. Here's a small portion of people who have already helped come to sponsor us, including quite a few different municipalities throughout South Carolina. We're very, very proud to have their support, and also local and national corporations supporting us as well. So I'd like to talk a little bit about our progress to date and where we stand. One of the first major milestones after we finished the design was we were able to start quarrying all of the stone. The stone is quarried in Vermont. It's shipped to Wisconsin, where it's manufactured, and then it will be shipped down to the site. Here are some of the blocks for the Emmanuel 9 Memorial as they sit at the quarry in Vermont. Here's another picture of those. We were able to have all the stone quarried prior to the end of the year. Here is a cut section of the bench, so you can see the person kind of in the back for scale on how large these individual blocks are. To the right, we'll see the mock-up that we've developed. This mock-up that you're seeing represents about half of 2 different sides of stone, and you can see how they all come together. This will be installed on the church grounds within the next month and a half to 2 months. So this will be there. It'll help build excitement for the project and show people what the final, an example of what the final project will look like. We spent a lot of 2022 working through completing the design, filing for permits, and getting all the approvals that we needed. We are right on the edge. I'm hoping to have an email in my inbox when I'm done with this presentation that we have our permit, but we're hoping this week that we'll be able to have that permit, which allows us to go ahead and get working on site. For fundraising, we have $11 million funded so far. We have an additional $5 million committed, bringing the total to about $16 million of the $25 million goal. The entire $25 million isn't necessary to complete the project, but the $25 million is to both build, endow, and fund the outreach program that we have that we talked about earlier. So we need about an additional $3 to $4 million or so to complete the project as you just saw it. Our contact information, if you would like to reach out. And again, really thank you all for having us here and considering us and supporting the Emmanuel Nye Memorial.
And to be clear for the record and everything, what is the amount of the ask of the town of Mount Pleasant?
$250,000.
And other municipalities are giving $1 million or more.
City of North Charleston gave $250,000. City of Charleston has given us $4 million. The state of South Carolina also gave us $4 million. Yes.
All right. Just as a technical question, I guess I'll ask our administrator and lawyer. When we give money to something like this, I guess we make sure that the recipients are bona fide, that, you know, everything's accounted for, you know, I know it's a formality because I see who all's given, and they wouldn't do that if everything wasn't in order. But since we are talking about the public's money, we just need to make sure that we are giving into a viable entity and that everything's in order. And I think that's probably been done or will be done as we do this. What would the timing of our gift be?
It would be effective upon July 1st.
So anytime in that fiscal year that y'all wanted the check, it would be written and that would be done. Okay. Is there any permanent acknowledgement for the donors, for the especially the municipalities?
We are developing what that looks like now, but we do understand the need to recognize the donors, especially at the level that we're talking about.
Okay. Councilman Rich, I'm looking at you.
Do we need another motion to get us moved forward, Mr. Moore?
Yes, sir. In fact, I think it'll be better perhaps to take each one of these right forward individually.
Well, I'm going to make this motion that with permission, I'd like to speak after that. So I'd like to make a motion that we do provide the $250,000 community investment to the Mother Emanuel Memorial Foundation for the Emanuel Nye Memorial.
Second. I have a motion and a second. You have the floor.
Thank you for the presentation. This is very personal, very emotional for me. Sitting here thinking back to the night it happened, the police chief then, knowing that we had units down there at the scene that night, then all the involvement that our agency took on, including me being in front leading 10,000 people in that unity walk across that bridge where across the nation, we have riots going on, and then just the amount of hate, where we have the amount of coming together in unity, which is what I'm hearing. I can't wait to see it when it's done and go down to myself. The unity that happened that day, then it's continued to happen. I know we've had some issues since then with the civil unrest, but I think just because of that unity, even then, it helped quell things even faster here 5 years later when we did yet another march. So it's far more than a community monument in my sense, not just a city thing or a low country thing. That made international news. I know I got calls, emails internationally that impacted the world. You can never replace those lives. We can certainly memorialize them. I'll just stop for now.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Ms. Chapman.
Mayor, I'd like to also add to Councilmember Ritchie's comments. I was actively involved, even though I was no longer working with the city of Charleston. Immediately the next day, I was called to come in on a volunteer basis to work with the city on what they were doing to recognize in terms of the events that occurred. I was glad that I did it. The most, I guess, the thing that really got to me was driving with Mayor Riley to the funeral, which was in near Mullins, South Carolina, and riding in the line of cars and the bodies, in particular of the Reverend from the church, Reverend Pinckney. The entire length of 41 in Mount Pleasant was lined with residents from Mount Pleasant with flags, both U.S. flags and South Carolina flags. As a Mount Pleasant resident, seeing that was just so rewarding to me, that all of our residents were united in this recognition. But when we left Mount Pleasant, it didn't end. All along 41, going north, whether it was Andrews, whether it was Hemingway, wherever it was, people were lined along the streets with the flags, recognizing that we were all in this together. And Mount Pleasant, Charleston, North Charleston, the entire state could have gotten a black eye if we didn't handle this correctly. And for me, this 250,000 included in our budget recognizes all of the Mount Pleasant residents who were out there recognizing and also praying for Reverend Pinckney and his family.
Thank you all both. Appreciate it. If there's no other comments, we have a motion to approve at the $250,000 effective with the implementation of this budget. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is approved unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you for including us in that, and we look forward to working with you as it goes. That recognizes the impact that it had on our community and our ability to be a part of that eternally, and we thank you for that.
We're very thankful. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Ms. Grimoire.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Additional recommendations coming from committee include both Finance Committee and PJL recommended a $205,000 increase for the Charleston Animal Society, bringing that total to $280,000. And if we could, sir, perhaps
motions on each one.
Yes, sir. If you don't.
Yes. On the $205,000 for Charleston Animals.
Yes. Do you want me to just move to approve? Make a donation of $205,000 increase for the Charleston Animal Society for a total of $280,000.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. This was a unanimous recommendation from the committee. That doesn't even come close to what it costs them to service us and for us, for them to stop doing that, for us to do our own animal control would cost us millions of dollars. So this is well worth it. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion is approved.
Thank you, sir. Next item under PJL is $29,816 in community investment money towards Wake Up Carolina, towards their harm reduction project.
Yes, sir. I'd like to make a motion that we include a $29,816 community investment to Wake Up Carolina for the harm reduction project.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion?
I would say that they provide an incredible service to Mount Pleasant and all of the state of South Carolina, quite honestly, with the epidemic, and we couldn't do our job without them. And I know the police chief would probably agree with us. They've just done incredible work.
Absolutely.
To be able to support them good stuff.
All right, and that is the amount they had applied for in a community investment grant. We're just taking it from that category, and we're putting it in our budget because of, obviously, it's a police, judicial, and legal issue. So all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Items that came in later after the proposed budget are offered here under other considerations. The first is a potential additional reserve ladder truck.
Mr. Mora and Mayor and my fellow council members, if y'all indulge me, I'd like to make a statement on that, if I may. Back, if you remember, during our FAR committee meeting, I requested that our FAR department bring some information about a reserve ladder unit if you located for us to either add to a lease agreement or some type of borrowing or whatever it took to get an additional ladder vehicle to support what we currently have. And I'd like to see if Chief Nixon, would you come up, sir, and tell us kind of what you found out for us and provide any information that you can on that?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Councilman Ritchie, for the opportunity. I'll move through a couple of options that we looked at. The first was the Auto Aid partnerships. I spoke with several of the chiefs in the Auto Aid, and we all agree that if the timing is right, we will share units with each other on to kind of supplement that need. But they're seeing similar problems with supply chain issues for repair parts. And of course, those units will be subject to availability if they're not already using them. So that is an option, but it's more of a short-term option, something that would be a few days at a time. They would likely maybe need that unit back. But we have agreed as a group that that is something that's viable. Secondly, the lease option. There's nothing in the state of South Carolina that's available for a lease. So it would have to be something outside the state. It's a little more complex process. It comes with the cost and it comes with transporting the unit here. So my belief is that'd be something that was more long-term. If a unit was involved in an accident that took it out of service for multiple months to go get repaired, that lease option would probably be good for us in that interim while that unit's being fixed. The third option is the purchase of a newer used ladder truck. With the current state of affairs, we've talked about it at committee and other times with supply chain for parts, with extended lead times on production. Y'all all have been supportive in allowing us to order trucks sooner because of those lead times, but we don't see that going away in the interim. We've talked to our vendors. Several vendors have shut down, taking orders for months. Our vendors still taking orders, so we're concerned that a lot of those clients will move toward our vendor and keep those lead times high. So I feel it's an opportunity to supplement our current reserve fleet with the purchase of an additional used ladder truck, something that's a little bit newer than what we have. And these trucks come fully vetted with testing. They'd be repainted to meet our scheme. And that's something in the neighborhood of $750,000 to purchase that truck. And we've been in touch with our vendor. And there are some options out there throughout the region that we're looking at and talking to them about as options. But there is precedent here. And in 2019, you allowed something similar as a council. You allotted money for a reserve engine. So you're able to purchase a reserve engine, supplement that reserve fleet on that engine side. And now I feel that supplementing the ladder side with an additional reserve unit will help us out.
Mr. Mayor, do I need to make a motion before I ask Chief any questions?
Or I'll go ahead and get it as a motion.
As a motion first, yeah. Okay, then I'd like to ask again. Yeah. I'd like to move that we add $750,000 to our proposed budget to purchase the additional reserve ladder truck with funding to come from our fund balance.
As second. Chief. I have a motion and we have a second. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, if I may.
Yes.
I got a couple questions, sir, about this. First of all, we're still purchasing brand new trucks that are already in the process of being purchased, built for delivery. Is that correct? This is not replacing one of the brand new ones.
Yes, sir, that's correct. So our next ladder truck in the queue will be here February of 24. And then we've ordered the second primary ladder. It's a three-year build time, but that was ordered in this current budget year.
And with the purchase, if we get it approved and we can purchase this truck, how long are we looking at getting a used vehicle painted, whatever it is?
Yes, sir.
How pleasant to be in service.
Yes, sir. We're looking at 90 to 120 days for that complete process to be repainted and brought to Mount Pleasant.
Okay. And I think my last question is, will we remove one from service then? Would one of our older ladders would come out of service? Or how is that going to work? Or will that wait till we get our brand new ones in? So I just wondering when that would fall in the rotation.
Yes, sir. So we'll keep the current reserve in place now. So that'll give us two. Once the new ladder truck gets here in 2024, we'll roll the old one either to training or we'll deadline it, and that'll still allow us to have two reserve units at all times.
And Chief, will this meet the needs of what you and your department be for our citizens right now?
Yes, sir. I feel this is a great option for us, and it increases that redundancy that we already have. And of the three options, I feel that it's best for the department. It's the most usable option that we have.
In your professional opinion, this is an operational need, something we need to get in place for you and your firefighters, for our citizens.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir. So this puts the unit into reserve. This is not adding an entire unit. It's not adding a third ladder unit. Is that correct?
So this would be a second reserve in place to supplement those two primary units when they go out of service.
Okay. And do you feel we have enough ladder units then with Auto 8? The two ladder units are enough to cover Town of Mount Pleasant?
Yes, sir. I mean, as you remember in our current strategic plan, we do mention a third ladder in there at some point. And we're continuing to kind of look at that. RLA did help us out, supplemented those ladders at Isle of Palms, Sullivan's, Peninsula, Daniel Island, we talked about. So we are in a really good position with those. And this reserve unit will help us keep those two primary units in place at all times.
Thank you.
And Councilman Ritchie, as I understand, this gives us a much newer reserve ladder truck than the one. You're talking about rolling the other one back to training or deadlining it. So then this reserve that we're getting, although it's used, is a good bit newer than the one that we currently
have. Yes, sir. Our two current units are 2001 and a 2007. We're looking at units in the range of 2013 to 2014. And all of these units have really low miles. They're coming from departments that are either volunteer or don't have the call volume that we have. So they're low miles. They're in good condition. They're certified, and they are 5, 6, 7 years newer than our current reserve trucks.
I remembered you telling me that. I just couldn't remember all the numbers. Yeah, thank you. All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve this additional reserve ladder truck at the cost of $750,000, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The last item came in just a few days ago from the South Carolina State Guard asking us to consider a contribution of $30,000.
Of $30,000?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
They were in the budget last year, funded at a level of $25,000.
Okay. Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion to approve at $30,000 to the State Guard. And please, for the record, give some information on what they do.
I'm happy to do that.
All right.
First of all, thank you for the motions. The South Carolina State Guard serves as a multiplier out on the street for the bridge run every year. They've been doing that. While this is an all-volunteer organization, and none of this money will be used to pay any salaries or whatever, it would be used potentially for equipment. State Guard is very fortunate to have a number of former military personnel to assist our public services, public safety personnel when we have the bridge run, both in the standpoint of communications. And if any of you were up on the bridge when the bridge run started, you saw that they had their communications in place all up and down the bridge run route. The only thing I would suggest is that we probably need to work with the State Guard on working with our public safety personnel in terms of stationing and working on a plan with our public safety personnel. So thank you for those motion and second, and I would strongly encourage us to continue that force multiplier that is available. And in any questions, I would ask for assistance with our public safety personnel.
Okay.
To answer.
Any other comment? All right, all in favor of the motion to approve, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councilman Rich, do you have
a motion? Is it still? Okay. Yep. Is it on the side of that? So, and there's been discussion about the money for the arts, and we want to do it right, and I know we want to do it right, so I'd like to make a motion that we put earmark that money and put it in reserve to allow for more research so we can get the right type of arts facility and all we need for our community. So I'd like to make that motion.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second, and I'm assuming that's the money from the ATAX and the money that's in the operating budget. And you have the floor as the person who made the motion, but I have a comment I'd like to make based on my conversation with the chairman of the cap committee and why this would be a desirable way to do it.
Certainly, sir. I think my only question, and maybe it's for Marcy or Mr. DeMora, this, folks, we ask for this, and it gets approved that we do put this money in reserve, can it be noted that that is what this is for? We're not pulling that money to use for somewhere else. Is that how it's done, sir?
Well, it's if we're talking about the proposed budget, that money's already earmarked for those purposes. So, in my mind, if I understand you correctly, moving it to a reserve lessens the security of that money being utilized for the particular purpose than keeping in a specific line item that's been approved by council.
Okay.
So, what brought this up is after we voted to send this to CAP, I spoke with the chair and there was a CAP committee, and it was made very clear to me that first of all, remember where that came from. We were looking at the old church behind Baker, and then we were looking at Heatworks. And then somewhere in there, it became from a community center to a performing arts center at a specific location that private citizens were out negotiating on behalf of the town. The CAP wants to be freed from any of those constraints and come back to us with the best way to do it right. It could be more money. It could be less money. But they don't want to be tied to a certain budget. It is a result of us in the past looking at certain facilities that are not even in the running anymore. So, I mean, I guess that money can sit there, but you know, if we have another 20 people coming here saying we have already funded a community arts center, I mean, a performing arts center, no, we never voted on a performing arts center, and we have since unanimously asked CAP to come back and tell us the right way to go on this. So if that money's sitting there, there's going to be a temptation for people to say, make a decision quickly, get back, spend this money. It's in this fiscal year budget. And we're defeating our own purpose if that's the signal we give. So if there's a better way to do it than putting it in a reserve, let me know. But if it's in the budget, we're sort of saying, hey, it's in the budget for this year, and this is how much it is, and this is all it is. They may come back and tell us it needs to be a lot more. So I don't know how we resolve that.
I think I understand now, sir. I think the best way to meet the situation you describe is to move the money from the two spots it's located in into a reserve account and non-departmental.
Okay.
Just move it over there and leave it there.
And it's still there if that's what we need when we go get it.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Is that consistent with your motion?
Well, to say, if a legal still in the room, do I need to amend that? Or is that, will that serve? Okay, sir.
Yeah. Okay. And your second. Okay. So that's what it would do. Yes. Mr. Rambo.
Does that then, I mean, the purpose of the reserve, putting it in reserve, it would then be rolled over essentially if nothing happens in this fiscal year with that money and if more money would be added to it?
Well, that would have to be a decision of council to roll it over. Normally.
So it just putting it in a reserve doesn't necessarily roll it over.
No, sir. And my understanding is we're talking about money that's allocated in the proposed budget for July 1st.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm sensing and would probably be a little bit behind as well. Maybe I'm wrong, but you guys are looking to accrue the money then, I guess. So, what is it now? 150 and two? How much is the two different pots?
It got written into the operating as 200,000.
200 and... But there's a third or second item as well.
Yes, there's also 300,000 right. State accommodations tax, which does have a 2-year life.
For next year.
So that only has a 2-year life.
For next year. No, it's not in there today.
So that only has a 2-year life. But are you stating that you want the two? So in 5 years, are you stating that the two, if we approve 200,000 every year, that you want $1 million pot?
Could be.
Is that what? So I think that's.
It could
how
be.
How does that happen? Is that.
What?
it all works. At that point, it starts to become its own capital project. We should be accounted for differently. But I understand what's being said, and my understanding is that we're talking about the proposed budget. That means the one that takes effect July 1st. If that is so, then right now we have proposed money in two different pots. And in order not to have that money misinterpreted, it's best to move it to a non-departmental line, which we can do. We can clean it up before next Tuesday night, and which is fine. What will happen to the money that's currently budgeted, like every other line, unless it's capital item, it'll roll over at the end of the year, only to be reallocated for whatever purpose you determine at that point in time. Because we don't have a current project. So if it was a current capital project we were in, we could roll it over. But it's just an unspent line item right now.
Because if we leave it there, we're budgeting on a site that it is no longer even on the market. That's where that 150 came from, that we voted on in April of last year. And it was never used this year. And it's like a confinement of something that we have asked a committee. And I met with the chairman and they said, we don't want to be confined. We want to come back, as Councilman Ritchie said, with the best answer to do this the right way. And that's based on something that if you saw it, I think most of us saw it, it was behind Baker Automotive. So there's really no rational reason for leaving it there when it's based on something that's not even still on the market. But if we earmark it into a non-departmental, it can be added to, part of it can be used, whatever. But I'm afraid once we budget it, people are going to start coming out like they were coming out saying they were negotiating on the town's behalf for a former fitness center. They're going to start working towards that budget, and that's not what we asked the cap to do.
And what do you do about the ATAC dollars then? That
we have to transfer it over.
Those roll off every 2 years, though, correct?
Yeah, I'll have to consult with Marcy and get her opinion, because we'll allocate the money, we'll transfer it over to the general fund. Then it'll be a question of what happens if it's not spent in enough time. We'll have to work through all that.
Right. We'll get the CAPS recommendation within 2 years, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other discussion? So that would be the motion to move those two to a non-departmental, call it reserve fund. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Moving on to the next item, if I can get the, it doesn't want to work for me here. Does anyone else have a way of fast-forwarding this presentation? No.
We're on items.
There we go.
The lease purchase.
Okay.
Or are we still in general fund?
No. Here we are. And so what this is right now is an accounting of decisions that have been made, but we've had additional decisions, so we're going to have to clean this up before final reading of the ordinance. But we'll make sure that all of the decisions that have been decided upon will be incorporated. Here are the final numbers. These will have to be adjusted as well. And we'll go ahead and clean all that up prior to final reading based only on the decisions today. However, it is important that we declare what we're going to borrow for the lease purchase, which is something we do every year. It's a 5-year lease purchase. You have two for the fire department, a new engine truck, and a rescue truck. For the rest are public service type vehicles. And for $2.212 million. And sir, if we could have a positive motion, that would be great.
Yeah. Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve and a second. Any discussion? I don't know if there's anything from the Finance Committee, Mr. Rambo, if y'all had any additional light to shed on that. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is approved. Thank you.
Okay. And our CIP has not changed since the beginning. You know what the priorities are next year: All-American Boulevard, Fire Station Number 7, renovation and expansion, and some work on the Jones Center and the shrimp plant at Wando Dock, which needs some important improvements. And those are the items for next year, totaling $22 million. If I could get a positive vote, sir, that'd be great.
Is there a motion to approve?
Second.
Motion to approve and second. Any further discussion? And as you said, this has not changed since our previous meetings.
Yes, sir. Correct.
Right, so there's no differences to discuss. All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Okay. And lastly, there had been some talk about how far we look out in determining priorities and recommendations to you when it comes to our overall budget, but especially our general fund. We look out 5 years, and so with that, with those discussions in mind, it seemed like a good opportunity for us to review with you what the assumptions are going forward. I'm going to have Marcy do it, please. Marcy.
So as far as our general fund, our operating fund, we do look out. So as departments are working with Mr. DeMuro, we're deciding what the plan is for the year. And I will tell you, a year doesn't go by, he doesn't say, is this sustainable? Can we do this? So it was an opportunity to show you what we did. Now, a couple of years ago, we adopted it, COVID hit, but we continue to do this every year. So when we look at our revenues, we assume that the revenues have what I'm going to call a natural growth. We know that in 2025 tax year, there's going to be a reassessment, and that will impact fiscal year 2026. We do not assume that town council will do anything other than roll back the tax rate. That is a decision of town council. But for our planning purposes, we do not assume those tax growths. So we're looking at, again, natural growth that would happen over the 5 years with property and sales tax. In licenses and permits, it's a little different this time because the State Standardization Act, what they did is they said, in 2021, Mount Pleasant, you have to adopt a new ordinance with our rates that everyone, our class schedules that everyone's using. And with that, every odd year, you have to update it. So we will be bringing back to you before December 31st, the new tax rates, tax schedule, that will show what businesses have done. Now, we were supposed to receive the data. We haven't quite. They're telling us June. So it's their first time also. So they're getting the state is getting the data from IRS. They're going to come through. What that's going to happen, what that's going to mean to us is that there are businesses that make a better profit. So they naturally, their class is going to rise and their taxes would be higher. But then also there's businesses that are not seen to make as much profit. So in this plan, it's hard for us to assume what's going to happen every other year. So what we did is we took the stance that town council will keep us neutral, that for those that go up and those that go down, our taxes would not necessarily decrease or increase. We just don't know what's going to happen. So we took that natural trend, and that's in licenses and permits. We have a placeholder for grants each year. Intergovernmental, we do look. It should not be impacted. The last impact was with our population change based on the census. So we go through. We even, you'll see a little blank spot, sadly, when Alhambra Hall is closed for the year. So we really do try to look at what's happening. So that's on the revenue. So this gives us a trend, a kind of a natural trend, or natural growth, I called it, anywhere from 3 to 3.75% over the years. That's kind of what we're looking on the resource side without any changes. On the expenditure side, now this is where it gets. What we just proposed to you and the changes you made, are they sustainable for 5 years? We believe yes. So we have our compensation in there. We look over the 5 years at estimations of merit increases for performance, at times that we have to increase health insurance. Just like anything else, those costs are growing. So we build those in. We also look, when will we need new staff? There's some to maintain our level of service, which is always our goal. But there also is the time when we look back at that CIP that you just did the resolution and say, what is going to be coming on in the next 5 years? And when those come on, can we staff them? And do we have the operational money? We know we have Memorial Waterfront Park in there. We know we have Rifle Range Road Park in there. So this plan, when you look at the compensation and the operating, does incorporate those like any other CIP project that we anticipate having an impact on us and when that would come into play. And then the transfers out, we do maintain those. Those are for our replacement plan, for our vehicles, all of those those pieces. And actually, that's kind of our balancing area. If we have a little bit extra, we want to always put it back towards our comprehensive maintenance plan and those other items. So this is more formal than I do with Mr. DeMora. He sees more of the raw pieces, but this is the plan that says what you're adopting is sustainable at natural growth without any proposed tax increases.
Okay. Has anybody crunched all the numbers, done all the math? Mr. Akifano,
when you state no tax increases, are you assuming a property value increase on the 2025 mark or not assuming in this?
We are assuming that what the county sends us, it says this is how you have to roll it back so that you only get that natural growth, that you don't make money off that reassessment, that that's incorporated. We did not assume that you would use your millage bank or your current millage to increase that.
Okay. So if property value goes up 5% and we roll back the millage rate, that a person's property tax remains the same? Is that what you're stating?
All things being equal, yes, sir. I mean, mine might go up more than yours or a newer one, but yes, sir, we do not count on any additional tax increase, okay, that it comes back down.
So there's two sides. So right, one, you have to think of the people that have had their house for a long time and theirs can't go up more than 10% in their natural assessment. But if we roll it 10% or 15, excuse me, I misspoke, 15% every 5 years, but then we would roll it back, they wouldn't actually end up paying more taxes. However, if you have a home that's tax assessed right now at a $300,000 value and it resells for $1.5 million, which is happening all over the place, then that resets that number and that natural inflation does get captured. So it's kind of two different. So the people who've owned it for a long time, they actually don't pay more taxes, but then based on the resale, those people would.
And therefore, without, and the rollback is natural according to state law, or rollback is natural according to the wishes of council at this time?
No, that is state law, yes, sir. State law, it splits the millage, and the millage that's on operating is required at reassessment time to be rolled back.
Okay. Thank you. Right. Okay. So you're not able to attack these capital improvement projects a little heavier, I guess.
We have in the 5 year, you'll see that. And that's also based on all that trend analysis. This focuses on our operating, but our special revenues, those generally tend to be heavier in the capital. And we've presented that plan as well.
Okay. Thank you.
We have a technical question.
I got one
copy that says we need a resolution to adopt this, and the other says review. So do you need a resolution?
We don't. No, sir. We do not.
But it says resolution.
That is our original agenda. We were looking for something more formal, but this is our guiding principle. So okay. We don't.
But you don't need an action.
No, sir.
All right. We do need comments from the chair of the finance committee. I know you crunched all your numbers. All right. Any other comments on that? All right. That was item 8. Is there anything else, Mr. Mora? Anything else? All right. If not, item 9 is to adjourn this budget committee meeting of town council is adjourned. I think it's time to go grab lunch and then don't forget.